Blog Talk Radio.
Show. I'm your host, The Angry Patriot, coming to you live from the Battle Room here in Houston, Texas. It is February the 8th, 2015, or 16, I should say. Sorry about that. Tonight, I have a very interesting guest that I am going to be bringing on. But, you know, with the recent murder of Lavoy Finicum, and the events in Oregon still on many patriot and everyday citizens' minds, and the topic of many a barroom, water cooler, and dinner table conversation, both in support and against, it is humbling to know that there's someone out there who has a clear mode of thought. Someone who has been working behind the scenes to get the issues of the ranchers in the Oregon area heard, and the standoff in the Miller National Wildlife Refuge to a peaceful and hopefully nonviolent end. Well, as I said on today's Battle Room, I am honored to have Judge Gary Darby join me to tell us about his efforts to do just that. But before I bring Judge Darby into the Battle Room, if you would like to call in to speak to Judge Darby, the number to call in with your questions and comments is 646-668-2932. So with that, I'm going to be bringing Judge Darby into the Battle Room. Judge Darby, welcome to the Battle Room, sir.
Thank you very much.
I've been, following this situation out in Oregon pretty intently. But recently I came across a very interesting video in which you were calling a military officer requesting military assistance. Is that correct?
It was to the provost marshal of the guard, requesting essentially what you said, assistance, for because people were in fear of their lives, because of the occupation of the city of Burns, which is a sovereign, it is a city that is not under federal control, and it's not, it's within the soil of a sovereign state, a republic,
right,
of this,
right,
union of states. Yes.
You know, and, you know, I'm ex-military myself, and this whole situation that I've been seeing come down with, you know, the situation with the murder, I don't know how you can call it like it is, the murder of Lavoie Finicum, and the blatant attempt to paint them as a terrorist group, which, I mean, I understand, you know, maybe they could have handled the situation a little bit differently than they did. But at the same time, I don't buy into the rhetoric that they were armed for battle. But from what I've seen in the video, that there's nothing indicating that at all. Have you been in communication with anybody in that regard?
Yes, and actually I'm in communication with quite a number of people intimately involved in this. It's quite amusing to see how the mainstream media is painting the domestic terrorists. The true domestic terrorists are the BLM and the FBI.
That's true. That I have to agree with you there. You know, and the thing that I found interesting about this whole video, and, you know, being ex-military myself, anybody that's ever been in the military knows that if you go into a mission, you don't go in there unprepared. You go in there with everything that you have to accomplish the mission. And from what I've been seeing in this video, they weren't even in, you know, involved in doing anything like that, because they could have accomplished it very easily if that was their intent.
That is absolutely correct. Oregon is a open carry state. And in Eastern Oregon, everybody carries. It's just, we have bear, we have cougars, we have things that, wolf packs. We have a reason to carry, to protect the cattle, to protect our families, and so forth. And the when the Bunnies came over, what is not brought out very much is that they came and occupied an empty facility. There was nobody there.
Right.
So how could the Bundys have an armed insurgency in taking over a federal facility when nobody was there? Secondly,
that's a valid point. That's a valid point.
Yes, and secondly, after they were there, they went in and found that the place was pretty much trashed by the BLM employees. And they went in, cleaned it up, they sweeped it, they cleaned it, they took care of the artifacts. They were responsible people, far more responsible and careful and taking care of what was there than the so-called BLM caretakers.
Yeah, that's true. I've seen a lot of those other videos where they were going through the and doing an inventory of all the stuff in the storage area. Very respectful, you know, of the artifacts that were there. But like you said, you know, the BLM was so, you know, negligent in their, you know, caring for those very important artifacts.
That's exactly true. And while they were there, they welcomed the people to come and go freely. They were not threatened. They were extremely respectful. In fact, many visitors were just amazed at how well self-disciplined these so-called terrorist militia people are towards the public. very respectful, and people were just coming and going freely.
All right. Now, in regards to your efforts, have you made any progress in your being able to, you know, get other military entities and stuff involved in this? Or?
Well, the problem with that is the Posse Comitatus, as well as there's some other regulations that specifically says that the military cannot come in and operate without upon American soil, with only the exception of the orders of the governor, which is not coming.
Right.
Now, what we did is we did not go request the military per se. We requested the provost marshal, which is the head of the military police. And essentially, it's a police force that we were essentially calling the police and saying, help, these people are being in fear of their lives and property. Their city is being occupied by a foreign force, and they are terrorizing the people. And yes, they are terrorizing the people. There is no question. One of the things I'm going to be working on is going through and getting affidavits from all of the people that we can that has been terrorized. And this includes women trying to take their children to school. They get stopped, they get searched, they're held at gunpoint, they're put face down on the ground and handcuffed until they're searched and they're done, then they're let through. Now, how is this constitutional?
It's not.
Now, they came in and they took over and took control by force with they just walked into the junior high school and took over the junior high school. They closed it down and used it for their own purposes. Where in the Constitution gives them the latitude or authority not only to even be there in the first place, but to forcibly come in and just take over the high school? They now have, it's been confirmed that they have snipers on the roof. They have armed guards with live ammunition out front. They do not allow people to come and go freely. I mean, this is totally 180 degrees opposite from how the honorable militia were reacting over at the refuge, which was 30 miles away.
Right.
Yet here we have a city. Think about your city, maybe not Houston, because that's a little bit big. But anybody who has lived or lived in a relatively small city, this force comes in wearing FBI things, but they're acting like arrogant contractors. And we believe very strongly, it's our opinion, that the majority of these are indeed mercenaries.
Right. And, you know, I've dealt with a lot of, military overseas, both, you know, being ex-military myself and spending a lot of time overseas with KBR and everything. And I've dealt with a lot of Blackwater people. And to be honest with you, that's what I see here. I see a lot of mercs in this situation, because just like a video I saw the other day, you know, where they were going up and asking these two individuals at a checkpoint who they were with, and they really weren't forthcoming with any information. So, but judging from the video, you're in my, you know, concern is very much substantiated, because that's what I see all over this, is mercenaries and, you know, private contractors being brought in.
that is our conclusion. I'm also ex-military, and I have not seen even our military at its worst acting the way these people act.
No.
It's just totally unprecedented. And they have been going around. There has been confirmed reports that they have gone out and physically thrown down some of the ranchers on the ground. One specific case was they threw him on the ground. They put their foot on his neck and said, "You will shut up or we'll come back and crush your nether regions."
Hmm.
And that, you know, created a substantial amount of fear.
You know, the thing about this whole situation is the FBI had a press conference not too long ago, and Sheriff, I'm trying to remember his name, Harney County Sheriff Dave Ward,
yes,
I believe, he made the statement that if we have any gripes or complaints about our government, we need to handle them through proper channels. Now, I kind of took offense to that statement because the fact is your everyday citizen doesn't have the financial stability to really go up and fight a lengthy court battle with the government. And so my complaint about his statement was, well, if we don't have any ability to bring our grievances to the proper channels, sometimes the only alternative we have as citizens is to civil disobedience. And that's exactly what we did in, you know, going in to take the refuge and hold it.
That's entirely true. The first thing that Ammon Bundy came out with, and I have the highest respect for him, is that he was saying, look, we are doing this, we are making a statement because we have gone through every avenue of administrative process to get our grievances heard, and we have not been heard. We have not had remedy, and therefore we have essentially no other choice than to peacefully do what we're doing. And that's my point. They are doing it in honor and peacefully, and these forces, the FBI has no constitutional authority to be there whatsoever. The governor has no constitutional authority to bring in the FBI to assault a city. And
the thing that I've seen, excuse me, the thing that I've seen, you know, dealing with, like I was in Kyrgyzstan when they had the coup of the president over there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what you call a armed civil uprising, you know, and this pretty much this situation out in the wildlife refuge is nowhere near that. And for them to accuse them of being domestic terrorists is way out there in left field. And I really and truly believe that our government has always been the perpetrator of event after event after event. Like, you know, when they had the treaties with the Native Americans, they would make the treaty and then they would come in and break it. And then they would make it look like the Indians did it, but the Indians didn't have anything to do with it. And this is what I see happening today.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you totally. The 73% of Harney County is claimed by the federal government. 73%. Now, that county used to be the second highest income per capita county in this state. It is now the second lowest because of the BLM and Forestry Service stealing all of that land. Now, under that land are massive amounts of yellow cake and gold.
Right.
And the same was with the Bundy Ranch in Nevada. Now, it is our understanding that Hillary Clinton set up a deal to sell or give or something. We're not exactly sure how the contract went. The part of that uranium to the Chinese. But the Chinese won't come in. The Chinese are the backers, the financial backers. Now, this is a Chinese corporation, not the government. The government is, they have clean hands. The Russians' government, they have clean hands. This is all corporations.
Right.
And my intel has been that they want to start ripping out that those minerals and stuff by way of calling it a project for putting in solar panels or a solar something, just like they did with Bundy's. But in the process, they just happen to dig up all this yellow cake and gold and process it. That, and it's they have a Canadian company that will come in and do that. Now, this is right now not confirmed. This is just our suspicion at this moment. I cannot confirm what I just said.
Right. But, you know, it's like everything else that I've seen with our government. They always come up with some way of coming in through the back door. Like when I was over in Afghanistan, excuse me, I was on a base called Bab Salerno, which is in the extreme, probably southeast part of the country. And when they first moved into that part of the country, the base was all tents. And now when I left, they pretty much had converted the base over to all brick and mortar, construction. And that showed me right there that they're there to stay. And right before I left, I found out that they had recently discovered a bunch of natural resources such as gold and uranium and stuff up in the mountains. So I know that's probably what they're doing over there in Afghanistan. So this is probably what I see happening in Oregon as well.
And I would agree with you. The Vietnam War was about 10. Vietnam has the largest pure deposit of 10 in the world.
You know, and they're using the opium as a way of, you know, using that too, you know, for medications and stuff like that. Because, you know, a lot of people don't realize that opium is, you know, a part of medications in the world today, but you know, that's a big crop for the Afghanis, and that's why they're there as well, because that it's a cheaper form of being able to, you know, to harvest it.
Yes. Yes.
So Judge Darby, what do you think is going to be the outcome of this in the long term? I mean, do you see any possibility of us being able to settle this peacefully?
Well, what are you referring to as this specifically, please?
Well, I mean the situation at the wildlife refuge, and do you see any hope of coming to a peaceful settlement of this situation out there at the wildlife refuge?
I do not. I hate to say it. I do not. And the reason is that we just, in fact, about half an hour ago, I was given some new intelligence that the governor of Oregon sent a letter to the president, Obama, within a day or two of receiving that letter, Obama sent a special person. We are still trying to identify who and who it was and what their title is, but they went. That person went to Burns, and upon arriving, the negotiations and talking totally went south. In fact, Lavoie did a video making mention on this, on how suddenly, out of nowhere, and out of a curiosity, the FBI just turned really ice cold, wouldn't talk to him, and he couldn't understand that. Hmm. Now, 2 days later, Lavoie was murdered.
Right.
Now, we are putting the dots together that it appears that, and this is speculation, it appears that it was intentional, and Lavoie was the primary target because he had several run-ins with the BLM, and he had gotten like something like 19 other ranchers to declare that the BLM broke contract, and therefore they were in breach. And so he was not on their happy list whatsoever.
Right.
Now, when the two trucks, and they were not armed, I have heard that there was two pistols, but they were never used or even pulled, even in their own defense.
Right.
But again, that's not confirmed. It's difficult to get confirmation of a lot of these things. But we are getting good information from reliable sources.
Yeah, you know, the argument, again, that I have, you know, because, excuse me, if that was their intent to engage in an armed conflict, they would have engaged the first roadblock instead of the second, because
actually,
you don't want to be
did.
Caught. Well, that's what I mean. Lavoie and them would have engaged them actually in armed conflict.
On Lavoie's side, yes.
And so that shows me right there that wasn't their intent at all. So because you don't want to be caught in between one checkpoint and another checkpoint, because you will end up having to defend both sides of your, you know, your rear and your front. And from what I've seen in the videos, you know, you had agents coming out of the wood line. And so that shows me that there was a blatant ambush.
Yes. And if you look at it, it was a very typical military style ambush. Very well set up, very well coordinated. And at the first stop, you could see quite easily how Lavoie put his arms out, showing he had no guns. Mm-hmm. They went, "Hey, you guys have me." Yet they fired into the air, giving him the impression that they were being fired upon.
Right.
And in fear of immediately being riddled with bullets, he did what any normal person would do. You hit the gas and you get out of there.
Right. And that's a natural reflex.
That's right. And so essentially they guided him into the kill zone. Now, if you look over there, they had it set up so that his only choice was going into a snowbank. They already had people up positioned in the trees. They knew he was coming. They had it planned out. He came out with his hands up in the air at all times. He was surrendering. He was unarmed. And the interesting thing is, there's also some experts have told me that they believe that there has been sections edited or cut out of that show.
And yeah, I've noticed that too. In that regard too, I noticed that it wasn't all, you know, all put together. It was all, you know, separate, you know, little clips put together into one.
And they were just trying to give a manipulation of propaganda of what they want the public to see, not the truth. Now, of course, they've announced, oh, we're doing a big investigation and we'll get to the truth of the thing. And, of course, it'll get whitewashed like they did on Waco and what they did with Randy Weaver.
And Benghazi and...
And Benghazi and everything. And
I just don't see this investigation going anywhere. Folks, if you're out there listening and you would like to call in to speak to Judge Darby, the number again here is 646-668-2932. Judge Darby, I'm going to take a little bit of a break and I'll be back. Can you stay on, sir?
Certainly, I can. Thank you.
Okay, I'll be right back with more of the Angry Patriot Show.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies, I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? Women go and men follow. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
Welcome back to the Angry Patriot Show. I'm your host, Angry Patriot. I'm here with Judge Darby, who through his efforts is trying to help the ranchers of the Oregon area, as well as to peacefully settle the situation out there at the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. Judge Darby, how did you become involved in this Oregon situation to begin with?
That's a good question. It just fell into my lap, essentially. I live in Oregon, and I have been working on explaining to people the difference between the jurisdiction that is statutory as opposed to the jurisdiction that is common law or the people, land jurisdiction. And what we have is statutory is the jurisdiction of the sea. So what they have done is they have moved the jurisdiction of the sea onto the land and taken away the right of the people. Now, the way that is set up is that the people have the least power and control, and the judges or the corporations have all the power and control over the people. Now, if you look at the land jurisdiction, it is exactly the opposite. The people have the highest control and authority, and the courts and the judicial system have the lowest. In fact, a judge, as myself, has no actual authority to do much of anything. And that is a fact. I cannot go and order anything without the grand jury saying, this is what we want you to do.
Now, isn't this falling into the same type of situation that we had during the pre-Revolutionary War time in America? Is this, because that's what it looks like to me.
That is. Before the Civil War, the Civil War was not about slaves. It was about state sovereignty. And when the South pulled out, there was no more, there was not enough people left in Congress to have a quorum. Without a quorum, you can't do business. Therefore, it was a total shutdown of the government, of the original Constitution. And so what happened was a color of law constitution, which was a corporate charter, was created, and therefore they were able to conduct business. But it was as a business providing government services. This was created by Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
So everything from that time forward is commercial. It's based upon color of law. It's using admiralty of the sea rather than land jurisdiction. The jurisdiction of the land was taken away from the people, and it has never been returned.
Right.
Now we can solve this problem, because even the Supreme Court, as opposed to the Superior Court. Superior Court is land jurisdiction. Supreme Court is sea jurisdiction. And the Superior Court has even come out and said, look, as long as there are no common law courts, Supreme Court, or the sea jurisdiction, has jurisdiction.
Right.
And that is why so many very, very educated and very smart people are pushing very hard to bring back common law courts.
You know, and that falls into the same thing as how the IRS actually was implemented, because if I'm not mistaken, I think Lincoln was the instigator of the IRS too, am I right?
That's correct.
Yeah, because, I mean, he set it up so that way we'd have to pay income tax, and that kind of throwed us into a different set of laws altogether as well.
That's correct. And the whole thing is that if you take away a person's labor, you disenfranchise them from their children and their family and their community. If you dumb them down with chemicals, pharmaceuticals, toxic air to breathe, toxic water to breathe, then you create an ideal slave. An ideal slave, and this was even stated on a TED dialogue by Bill Gates, who is probably the most evil person in the world that I know of. And he stated very specifically, the ideal worker is a person with high functioning autism.
That's true. Yeah.
And that's exactly what they're doing to the population of the world through our genetically modified food, through toxic chemicals like fluoride, which is a chemical, fluoride is an industrial waste. It does not help your teeth. It's poisonous. If you look on the side of your toothpaste box, it will say, if you swallow the fluoride in this toothpaste, call poison control. There's it right there.
You know, and it's just like the other day I saw this lady. She was trying to do a water test for lead, but she was kind of like contaminating the other water sources because she didn't thoroughly clean the tester that she was using. But her point was that the bottled water that many Americans is consuming contains lead. And I kind of buy into that to a certain point, that even the bottled water is not 100% pure that we're drinking. And I did a show not too long ago in regards to GMOs and stuff like that as well. And you'd be astonished what's in the food that we eat.
I'm very well at what's in the food. I'm 100% organic now.
You know, because there was a guy that had a son that was eating, I think it was cereal and other things every day, and his son had a real bad autism. And so he kind of weaned his son off of it, and then within like 6 months, his son was pretty much normal. And, you know, so he knew immediately that's what the cause of it was, is the food that he was eating.
Oh, yes. The food is highly toxic, and people just don't want to believe it. It's unfortunate because there is so much toxicity created in the food. For example, I've been able to confirm that all of your... all of the grains, just before they harvest the grain, they saturate all the fields with Roundup.
Mm.
And then they harvest and process it, and you are eating Roundup.
Pesticides.
Roundup is one of the worst pesticides. It has elements that was used in Agent Orange.
Mm. Mm-mm.
And Roundup, the compounds in Roundup is now being found in breast milk.
Yeah.
Across the United States.
You know, that's why a lot of your foreign countries like Russia and stuff had pretty much, you know, banned anything that has to do with GMOs and you know, and they pretty much have cut it out altogether over there. And then, you know, that's one reason why I kind of applaud, you know, a lot of your Eastern European countries, because they're standing up against Monsanto and DuPont and all these other big corporations.
That is entirely true. And it's I hate to say it, but it's homegrown in the USA.
Yep. So India,
the country of India has declared Monsanto to be a bioterrorist because of their genetically modified toxic foods, which actually the GMO has been proven. I was just talking to Dr. Remo. You should get her on. She is a fascinating speaker.
Remo.
RIMO, I believe. And she is a leading oncologist, and she was talking about vaccinations predominantly. And she has come out and said there is no good vaccination. And she just sit there for an hour educating people on how toxic the vaccinations are, how they put so many other things into the vaccination to cause damage to you and your child, which is also why there is a push to force vaccinations on every adult and child within the United States.
Yeah, because I did a show not too long ago with Catherine Albrecht.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, you know, addressing the microchipping and the dangers in regards to that. And I've been thinking about getting her back on the show as well, and maybe I can do a show with her and Dr. Remo in that regard.
That would be an excellent idea, yes.
So, Judge Derby, is there a website that we as citizens can go to get more information on what you're trying to do and how we can help you accomplish this?
We have a really good educational website, and it is just the Four Corners, FourCorners Doctrine, DOCTRINE .wordpress.com.
Okay.
I'm working on getting a shorter URL for that. But it has
sometimes
excellent information. There's conference calls on it. You can listen to old conference calls. We welcome you, everybody. Please We welcome you to come on the Friday night conference calls. In order to get on that, you can get the go into the tab on the website, fourcornersdoctrine.wordpress.com. Go into the section of conference calls, and at the top it gives you all the information on how to call in and even participate if you like. We are very hardcore about being polite. So we do not allow people to talk over each other, and we try to maintain courtesy and respect for everybody. The call is basically to make connections, to learn, to share, and work as a community. There is also a section, introduction section to common law courts, understanding common law, and how it is the people who should have the power, not the government making the people servants. Because right now they're not public servants. You are a servant to the government.
Right. Now, if someone wants to become a common law judge, is there a process for that?
It's actually there is. It's not hard as you think, though. The common law judge, and actually we need marshals. We need common law marshals more than judges. If somebody wants to become a judge, they're welcome to do that too, and help us out in that way. Essentially, to become a judge, we have an oath. You take the oath. You have three signatures. You have it recorded, so it's publicly recorded. And then you send a copy of that recorded document to the state you are in, the Secretary of State, and then you send one to the Secretary of State of the federal government.
Okay. Now,
we do not ask permission from these entities. We are informing them that you are now a constitutional judge.
Now, in regards to the marshals, is it the same process or is it more in depth?
It's pretty much the same process, yes.
Okay,
a little bit different old.
Yeah, because to be honest with you, I wouldn't mind being, you know, either or. So, you know, because like you said, I mean, I believe in what you're trying to do, and I think more and more people need to get involved. Because the more we have people getting involved in our nation, the better for our country.
And that is absolutely true. Now, see, one of the arguments that comes up is, well, everybody could just go and be a judge. And actually, that's true. Anybody can be a judge. Now, does that mean you will stand as the judge on a trial? Probably not, unless you know the Constitution, you understand it, and the grand jury selects you to be the judge for that trial.
Right.
So, see, it always comes back to the people have the control. The judge cannot sit there and say, you will give me whatever verdict I want. No. That's dictatorship. That's not constitutional judgment. I like to compare a judge more as being a referee. Now, a referee knows the referee book, the book of the game. That's the Constitution, the Magna Carta, the Declaration of Independence, and all of these things. In fact, it's even good to know the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers, so you understand the background of what these documents are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your book. You are the referee. You are making sure that this person who has been indicted gets a fair trial. Everybody plays fair.
Right.
That's what the judge does. The judge does not judge people. It judges the process.
Right. Now, I'm going to be sending you an email, and I you know, I'd like for you to send me more information on how to do that, and I'll, you know, I'll post it up on my show in the near future as well. And, you know, because this is very interesting, you know, and I really feel that our country is teetering on a, you know, a slippery slope here. And unless we all get together and do something, you know, our country is going to be pretty much flushing itself down the toilet.
I couldn't agree with you more, because the way we're going, we are going to become a dictatorship, or an oligarchy, actually.
Right. So, in closing, Judge Darby, is there anything that you would really like the people to know, something that would really impact in a positive way?
Take your kids out of school and home, teach them. If you're in a situation where you don't have the time, you can't, get together with other people, pull together, and create your own little classroom. Teach the kids what they need, civics, the Constitution, things that they are not being taught today.
And especially Common Core needs to be pretty much abolished.
Oh, yes. There's no question. Common Core is evil.
No. I saw something the other day, and it took the lady almost 10 minutes to work out a problem that if she would have just did it, simple math, it would have been done in less than a minute.
And well, you know, there's a somebody put online a midterm test for an eighth grader, which was from the 1880s, I believe. Mm-hmm. I took that test and I handed it to a number of my friends who were they had master's degrees, and they could not pass that test.
They couldn't pass the test.
They could not pass an eighth grade test from the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That tells you how bad. We have to take our children out of the school system. We have to teach them properly, educate them, and it is not going to happen in school.
Right, and you know, it's the same thing with geography and social studies and everything like that. I mean, you can ask the kid a question today where a certain city is, and they couldn't even tell you. But yet they can tell you who Justin Bieber is, and I mean, it's pathetic, you know?
It is. And start controlling the TV they watch. Don't let them play Game Boys. These are all propaganda and controlling systems that are used to create behaviors and attitudes in the children as their mind is growing. Now, I have a background in psychology. This is why I know this, that everything from television, when you leave your children in front of the television and let the television be the babysitter, that is one of the worst things you could ever do, because those children are learning their social behaviors and attitudes from that television. So
yes, true.
Even if you say, oh, that's funny, well, sit down and really look. How are the men being treated? What is the attitude of the women? Is that appropriate? Is that what would you have your children acting that way? That's not comedy. That's programming. That's social programming.
You know, because like when I was growing up, you know, we used to go out and spend hours outside playing and you know, socializing with our friends. And nowadays, you know, everybody, even if you're sitting at the kitchen table there, you see people just texting, and there's no interaction with people anymore.
That's right. That is the whole point, to destroy the family. to disenfranchise the family, stop the family from talking, let the government be the father. We don't need fathers because the government will be the father.
That is very true. And we need to get away from government altogether.
And men are losing the ability to be honorable men because they have been attacked and just torn down and programmed and told how bad they are from the time they were in child.
Yes,
we need to get back and teach the young children, male children, how to be real men, how to be honest, how to have integrity, how to be self-responsible, how to stand up, and how to emotionally defend themselves. And it's the next generations that is going to be critical, because if we don't, who's going to stand up?
You know, because in society today, you know, you don't see men doing things that men years ago were doing, like opening the car door and the holding the door of the store open, and you know, pretty much the things that men back in even 20 years ago were doing, you know, and instead of doing that today, they're treating women like they're property, just like, you know, and then, you know, the women seem like they're the ones that are in control of the household anymore.
That's right. That's right. And women are wonderful. I love them dearly. They're intelligent. They're smart. But they're not leaders, and they're not heads of the household. And I know a lot of people get upset over that.
I'll probably get a few nasty emails, but that's okay. Hey, you know, we are here to, you know, pretty much try to open people's eyes up to what's really going on out there. And, you know, Judge Darby, I do appreciate you taking the time from your busy schedule to come on tonight's show, and I really appreciate you doing that.
Well, thank you very much for the invite. The big thing I would like to get people is talk. Discuss. Even if you disagree, open up and talk. Get dialogue going. Talk to people. If I may, I'd like to suggest two books to read or three books to read.
Sure.
One book, Attorneys Above the Law by Dennis Schulke. Excellent, excellent book. You can actually buy them for about 5 or 10 cents online used. It's a fascinating book. Another book on common laws and how the law should be and how people are in control would be a book, Consent of the Governed, by Jason Hoyt. Excellent book in learning more. And then probably the number one book would be Judge Anna's book, Anna Von Reitz. I'm trying to think of the name of the book. Darn, I just can't think of it at the top of my head. And that is, you can look it up on Amazon, Anna Von Reitz, and that will tell you everything you need to know about what's going on.
Okay, Judge Darby, again, I do appreciate you taking the time from your busy schedule to come on tonight's program, and I look forward to having you on again sometime, and if there's anything that comes up on the radar, please give me a shout-out, and we'll get you back on so you can share that important information with us.
I will send you titles of all those books so that you can post them for your listeners.
I'll do that. I'll appreciate it.
So thank you very much for your invite, and I hope the best for everybody.
All right. Thank you, Judge Darby, and God bless you, sir. And let's hope you have a good rest of the week. And again, if anything pops up, feel free to let me know. Bye, sir. Well, there you have it, folks. Judge Darby with some very, very important information about what's going on out there in Oregon, what's going on in regards to the situation with the ranchers, and the pretty much the government's, I wouldn't say American government. I would say probably some foreign interest, some foreign entities that are out there masquerading as FBI agents when all they actually are mercenaries impersonating federal agents. We need to be vigilant. We need to be observant of what's going on out there. Because if it happens in Oregon, it's going to happen in other parts of the country. And I think it's already starting to happen because I've heard of reports about the BLM here in Texas getting involved with the same type of scenario that's going on out there in Oregon. And folks, we need to be on our game. We need to stand ready for what is about to come down. Because, like I said, if Oregon goes, so does other parts of the country. I've already reached out to Governor Greg Abbott and asked him to file letters of secession to remove Texas from the Union. But whether that will happen, I don't know. But folks, we are at a pinnacle for our future in this nation. Do we continue business as usual, or do we get smart? Do we wake up and really see the true picture? Because if we don't, our country is doomed. God bless you, folks, and thank you for taking the time to listen to tonight's program. It's been an honor and a privilege to have Judge Gary Darby on tonight's program. And I was hoping that we could get a few phone calls in, but I do understand that maybe some of you weren't able to get through. I do understand. Hopefully we can get a better connection if that was the case. I don't know the whole situation. Because normally I do get a few phone calls. Again, I do appreciate you taking the time to tune in. And I hope that you got some very vital information from Judge Gary Darby tonight. Because it's information that we all need to be able to see the truth. So, folks, God bless you. And I will see you tomorrow, 8 p.m., back here in the Battle Room with the Angry Patriot. Good night. I don't play the same games.